Excellent. Okay, so we're looking at the series on Noah. Knowing Noah is our theme for the summer, and this is the last one in that. And it's one called kind of make up these names as I go along and think, why did I do that? God stays true even when it rains again. God stays true even when it rains again. And if you've got a Bible with you, it'd be helpful perhaps to turn to the story. I will put it up on the screen. But the Bible story itself that we're looking at this morning is the very end of the book of Noah, and it's Genesis chapter 9. I just made up a new book in the Bible. I hope you don't mind. So it's Genesis chapter 9, and we're just going to look at one verse. That's verse 12. So this is what it says. It says, "And God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth.'" And you're thinking, well, Lord, where's the rainbow today? I need it today, as it pours down with rain outside. And as we're pushing now towards the end of the story of Noah, the caveat at the end of the story of Noah is a covenant in the shape of a rainbow, or rather in the colors of a rainbow. And the world has been flooded for 150 days, and the ark has safely landed on Mount Ararat, and the animals are sent on their way. But I suppose Noah's left with that question, with a massive boat still in front of him: what happens if it all goes wrong again? What happens if it all goes wrong again? And as we know from history, it does all go wrong again. Things are catastrophically difficult in the world today. We only have to look at the news any day to know that things catastrophically happen. We happen to tend to mess things up so brilliantly in the world as human beings. And the further away from God we get, the more the world seems to get messed up. And we experience it. And I think if we're honest, we'd say that we're part of it at times, that we're part of the mess up. So what's God going to do if everything goes wrong again? Will we need to keep the ark just in case? Will we need to have the plans ready to build a new ark just in case? Should we not make the animals go anywhere very far away in case we need them back again? I don't know about you. I tend to think across these thoughts when I'm thinking about it. But God says, no, you don't need that. You need a rainbow as a promise. That's my sign that I'm not going to flood the world again. Any future rescue plan of God's going to be different to what's gone before. And God promises that the future's not going to be like the past, and makes this covenant promise that things aren't going to be repeated again. And you know, I get the sense that there must have been some nervousness, though, as everyone got off the ark. Some nervousness. I don't know if you're different to me, but if something's happened in your life, some major traumatic event has happened, you tend to think long and hard before you get involved again. You get on an aeroplane and the engine blows up. You think long and hard before you get on an aeroplane again, don't you? If you get on a boat and it sinks, you think long and hard before you get on a boat again. And trauma is one of those things that we can really be affected by. And I wonder just how traumatically affected Noah and his family were by that event where they lost everything apart from a boat, the animals, and one another. You know, we had a small flood in our home over the winter time when the beast from the east, does anyone remember the beast from the east? And we went from frozen solid roads to melting roads this year. But when the beast from the east came in, our house was turned to ice. All the walls were covered in ice. All the roof was covered in ice. And all our pipework was filled with ice. And we had this flood in our house during that period, and then it suddenly just it pushed apart a compression joint. For those who are plumbers will know what that means. It pushed it apart, just this pressure joint was pushed apart by the power of ice alone, and then it melted, and then the water just flooded in, and lots of water. Now, I was able to turn it off pretty quickly. We didn't have a great deal of damage, but the ceiling stopped dripping, and it dried out in a couple of days. But the impact on that person whose room it was, who shall remain nameless, is that every time... Hello, Nathan. Yeah. Is that every time we had a shower or a bath, he'd run out of his bedroom going, ah! It's not a fabrication. The trauma, though, was there. I've upped it for dramatic purposes. I apologize, Nathan. But it must have been far worse for Noah when it rained again, particularly if it rained hard, and his family. I wonder what happened when it rained, the next time it rained, how they felt inside when that happened. We know we deal with people, as Ali and I, we deal with people with traumatic stuff that goes on in their lives regularly. When people come out of Afghanistan and the Yemen and some parts of ISIS-affected Middle East, when we do debriefing work with missionaries. And it's quite obvious. We were the couple not long ago who were affected by the large earthquake in Turkey a few years ago. And they said, it's now years since that happened, but we still grab hold of something every time a lorry drives by. The traumatic impact on them, that they were shaken out of their beds, they could do nothing but watch the buildings around them collapse. The trauma of water for Noah, the trauma can be very disempowering for people. And I wonder what happened when it rained again. But the one thing's true, it rains, doesn't it, again. It's raining today. I think during June and July, we thought it was never going to rain again. But today, it's raining. And I wonder how he felt when the clouds came over, the thunder crashed, and the rainbow wasn't yet visible, how he felt about that. You know, sometimes we do oversimplify the promises of God, don't we? And there's a first challenge is this. Don't oversimplify the promises of God. That's the first challenge for us today. Don't oversimplify the promises of God. When we receive a word from the Lord or a promise from God, we need to be careful how we use them. Now, the promises of God are great, aren't they? They're something that we can build our lives on, but only when we handle them properly. I'm going to take one this morning. It's this one in Romans 8:28. It says this, "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." And that's a great word for us today. It's a great word for us because it tells us something about the way that God can deal with the stuff in our lives and make it good. But that's great. It's a revealed word. I've revealed a word to you today, and you've got a revelation of what God's word is to you today. And that's important. You know, whenever you receive a word from the Lord, whether it's through the scriptures or through someone speaking to you or the Lord speaking directly into your own life, whether it's a prophecy or whether it's a prophecy out of here and God speaks into your life, you have a revelation. But then you have to deal with that revelation in the right way. So we have a revelation from God. The next thing we need to do then is to seek the interpretation of the revelation, is to see actually what it says to me in my situation. What does it mean to me? What does that word mean to my life? I've been given a promise. How does that unwrap in my life? And on this passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for some people it means good times are ahead. Good times are ahead. And there's sometimes we get things that reinforce that in our lives, that good times are ahead. Everything's going to be fine and rosy. Become a Christian, everything's great. But we also know for some people that's equally not true and a big struggle. And there are things in our lives, and there's teaching sometimes on the telly. You get this teaching that, you know, if you trust in Jesus, everything in your life is going to be fantastic and rosy, and you're going to be rich and wealthy and happy and healthy and all the rest of it. And sometimes we can sing great songs that misapply or don't help us to apply properly a word like that. There's a song called Nothing Can Separate. Have you heard of that song? Nothing Can Separate. All things work together for the good of those. But anyway, it says this in the bridge at the end of the song. All things work together for my good. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not quite right with that either, because we can take that and mean a lot of different things. It's not a bad song, it's not a bad lyric, but it's not always helpful when someone interprets the passage wrongly. Paul was writing to a church running into significant problems, not one that was writing into significant blessing. They were about to be persecuted by the emperors, and all sorts of things were going to go wrong. But sometimes we misapply it, and we misapply it because we can misapply it in the West. If you go to Africa, we've got friends in Africa who will never misapply a passage like this because they know that it just isn't the way. But because we live in the West, we can often misapply this passage, that life's going to be great because we've trusted in Jesus. That we'll have small problems, but that's okay because life is going to be great. Actually, you know, we receive those promises, but we misapply those promises or we misinterpret those promises because in general, life's always quite good, and then suddenly we might hit something that's a little more difficult, quite a lot more challenging in our lives. A massive problem will hit. Big problems with faith that gives us big problems with the promise. And it really impacts us. You know, I've got a close friend of mine. I got an email from him this morning, actually, but it's a good friend of mine. And that passage was exactly the problem passage that he had in his life. Life was great, middle class, you know, good job, upper management, doing great, fantastic stuff. Few niggly problems, problems with some ill health in the family, problems with some of his kids who didn't want to walk with Jesus all the time, but did most of the time. You know, those kind of things that we deal with on a day-to-day level. But, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love him. And then suddenly his wife decides that she doesn't want to be with him anymore and leaves him for someone else. And then he turned to me. I remember him standing in my kitchen just saying, how is God working all good things for his good in this situation? And I was thinking, how do I answer that question? How is it possible that this is good for me, he said. But you see, that's not what the passage was saying. It wasn't what God was meaning. It wasn't what Paul or God was meaning. You see, poor interpretation leads to poor application. Poor interpretation of a revelation leads to poor application of that revelation. And so when things go wrong for us, we're suddenly faced with a desperate fight with these promises from God that we thought always meant this, but don't. So what do they mean then? So we see in Joseph's life and in the Bible that sort of thing going on as well. I mean, you look at Joseph's life in Genesis, and you have to say, Joseph had a revelation, didn't he? He had a revelation from God of a dream, didn't he? What was the dream? That his brothers and his father would bow down to him. And so he interpreted that dream as something that his brothers and fathers should be doing now. And that led to a massive disaster in his life. Because if you ask your older brothers to bow down to you, well, what would good, self-respecting brothers do? Well, they'd beat you up and sell you into slavery, wouldn't they? And that's exactly what they did. They beat him up and they sold him into slavery. You see, poor revelation handled poorly, interpreted it poorly, and then applied badly, can have bad consequences on our life. And I'm not saying that that's not what God had always had in mind for Joseph and could use that situation. But that's not how you handle the prophetic or God's promises in your life. God's promises are not there to make us bulletproof. As with Noah, it's going to rain. How do we handle the times in our lives when it's going to really rain? And it will. And for some of you, it has. For some of you, it has. The promises of God aren't here to make us bulletproof. And as with Noah, it rains again and sometimes it floods again. But we've got to remember something in this. It's like Joseph, he had to know that the promises of God are bigger. The promises of God are bigger. And we need to keep in mind the bigger picture. The rainbow reminds Noah that God's promise is bigger than the situation that he finds himself in. It might be raining, it may be flooding, but everything's different now. Because the overarching, forward-thinking, larger promise of God is that he will not do what he did before. And that we can rely on him for that. Despite the indications that surround us that say sometimes the opposite. And our example in Romans 28 is actually that the bigger picture is that God can use all things, no matter how bad, right now, to shape us for the future. Not that all things will be great for now. And when they're not great, something's wrong with God or something's wrong with me. Because the thing is when we start applying the thing that's gone wrong in our lives is something wrong with me, then it's all about me. And the promises of God are never all about me, they're all about him. You see, in all things, God is good and he is bigger. And somehow he takes the things that go wrong in our lives and he uses them over a period of time to make things different. I have to say of my friend years ago who stood in my kitchen and berated the promises of God, has learned a great deal over those years. God's changed him. significantly. I'd have to say that he's a significantly nicer guy than he was. And he was a nice guy. He's significantly more empathetic with people, and people understood him before. You know, 30 years ago, 30 years ago this month, I was sitting in my car outside my office on the Wallsbridge Industrial Estate on Three Legged Cross up in near Wimborne. And God gave me this word that's on the board. It said this: "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour." It's from Isaiah chapter 53. And you know, I'd read it before. You read sometimes when you're reading the Bible, if you read the Bible regularly, I hope you do read the Bible regularly. If you read the Bible regularly, you'll find that God sometimes highlights stuff to you that you've read many times before, but it's suddenly really important to your life right now. It's almost like it's been made in a bigger font in your Bible. It's almost like it's been put in bold and underlined and felt tipped through with one of those fluorescent pen things to highlight it. And that was what it was like that day. It was like God had highlighted this passage to me that day. And I sat there in my car and I thought, I must underline this passage for real and date it, because I believe God is going to say and do something. But it didn't sound really great. It didn't sound very, all things work together for the good of those who love him. And be honest, I didn't know what it meant. It didn't sound good. So I waited. I decided that rather than try and interpret it, you know, like I'm going to be made redundant or I'm going to, you know, something's going to happen. I thought, well, I'll just wait and see what God says through this. And a couple of weeks later, my mum began to feel unwell and went for a blood test and then ended up in hospital with leukemia. She lasted 5.5 weeks and died. Then I knew what that passage meant. Then I knew what the application of that passage was and the interpretation of that passage was. And my whole family was swept away in grief. And I felt I had been given somewhere to stand firm when they were swept away. It was a time to trust, not to run. There was nothing obviously good in what had happened, other than that my mum, in her last 2 days of her life, gave her life to Jesus. That was a good thing. But there was nothing that seemed good in what had happened. But the interpretation was clear, and now I needed to apply it to my life. I needed to apply the promise of God to my life. And the promises of God are: don't be afraid. You're redeemed. I know who you are, and I'm standing with you. Don't be afraid. I know who you are, and I'm standing with you. I wasn't going to be swept away, because he'd stand with me. It would feel very close to it, but I wasn't swept away. Yes, my life was changed. It led me on a very, very defined journey from then on. The first one was, do I want to do this job that I'm doing for the rest of my life? Second thing it did was, when my mum died, it released finances for me to actually go to Bible college that could never have been released otherwise. Another thing it did was it allowed me to meet Ali, to have 2 children who would never exist, and the relationship would never exist without it. It allowed me to go and plant a church in Hong Kong, which still exists today, to see many people come to Christ. And it allowed me to go on and lead other churches, including this one. All because I didn't try and jump at trying to interpret what God was saying or try to apply it in the wrong way, but to wait and listen to allow him to speak through it. You know, the rains will come, but also the promise. The floods might come, but also the rainbow stands firm in the sky. If it's not for you the rainbow, then it's the cross. If it's not the cross, then it's the presence of God who knows my name and stands with me in the flood. Is it raining in your life today? Is it flooding in your life today? Let the rainbow illuminate the promises of God for you today. Rest in him. Receive his grace. And let him do the standing firm for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your promises are true and trustworthy, that they don't fail us, but they can be revealed in very different ways. Help us, Lord, in our desire to walk with you, to know how to go about doing that in the right way. Speak to us this morning, Lord, as we continue to worship you. Help us, Lord, to know that in the floods we might stand firm or even walk on water, but we can know your grace in this moment of our need. Amen.